I'm not built for this. Hello and welcome to Love It or Weave It, where we let you know if we love an anime enough to recommend it to everyone or if it's just for the worst of the weeks. I'm Annie, and I think that the best mask is Inosuke's mask from Demon Slayer or the Blue Spirit mask from Avatar: The Last Airbender. Both very good in different ways. Jeff?
I was muted. I screamed. Oh. Because you didn't steal my pick.
I didn't steal or I did?
You did.
Yeah!
I didn't know the name of it, but I was going to say Zuko's mask from that episode in Avatar season 2?
Season
where
one?
He reveals how tsundere he is wearing. Yes.
That was a good episode. I told you, you were like, I'm not going to steal this. You're not going to steal my answer. And I was like, I did.
I was like, this is so far out of left field. Like, does anyone remember this mask? Apparently they do.
Yes. We're Avatar stands in this house.
My runner-up picks were the Digimon Emperor's mask, which doesn't really count because it's more like goggles or glasses that he wears. It's not really a mask. And my second runner-up pick was Tuxedo Mask, but he's more of a person than a mask, so.
I like that answer, though.
If you're new to the podcast, each week we watch the first 3 episodes of a new anime and cast our votes to love it or weeb it. If we don't like the show, we stop watching and weeb to its own devices. But if we love it, we commit to do a full review of the show once it's complete. Today, we are sampling the first 3 episodes of our listener pick of the season, which we put up to a vote on Twitter. And the unanimous result was for us to cover Dorohedoro, which recently dropped on Netflix a couple weeks ago. So that's what we're covering, the first 3 episodes of Dorohedoro, which is available subbed and dubbed on Netflix. Before we get into that, though, Annie, have you been watching any anime?
I finished the finale of My Next Life as a Villainess.
Well, good, because you're never going to get a chance to talk about that again.
No.
Because that show was bad, and we're never going to talk about it again.
We're talking about it next week. How dare you?
I made some bad life choices.
Okay.
And watched 9 episodes of Tower of God to catch up to the finale because I'd seen chatter about it online. Mm-hmm.
It sounded very tired.
I don't totally regret doing it, catching up, because I think it's really fascinating. The reason I want to do it is because, like, I think my read and our read when we covered the show is, like, so woefully uninformed. Like, there's a twist that happens at the end of season 1 that I think is, like, crucial for understanding what Tower of God is really about. Mm. Not in terms of, like, the plot, but, like, as a fan, but, like, people who like Tower of God, like, what kind of people are they? And it's, like, critical to know what the twist is at the end of season 1.
So do I have to watch it?
I kind of had known what the twist was before I saw it. So what I want to do is talk about it now. Okay. Are you okay with me spoiling it for you?
Yes, please spoil it so I don't have to watch it. How about that?
So we're going to talk about the twist and stuff that happens in season 1 of Tower of God. So if you are really sensitive to spoilers, I skip ahead. I think I'll leave in the show notes like time codes to when we start talking about Dorohedoro again. But yeah, so Tower of God. So we left off in episode 3 with, like, they had just gotten the rules for that, like, crown game thing where they like get the crown and sit on the throne.
Yes.
And that goes on for, like, another episode or two. And I thought that Rachel's team would just, like, overpower everyone and then suddenly get accepted. And they'd be like, okay, now we need to catch up to her. But they don't. And instead, Rachel, like, is completely silent, but then defends Bomb. And it's like, okay, so she's being completely standoffish. But then she does defend him. But then she's, like, stops going by Rachel and starts calling herself Michelle Light so that she can, like, insist that she's not Rachel to him. And she's like, don't talk to me, I'm not Rachel. And everyone's like, we know you're Rachel.
She's like, don't get it twisted, I'm a new me.
But, like, so, like, for a while she keeps continuing to be like, I don't want you to talk to me, like, you know, like, I think it's coming from a place of, like, I'm trying to save you by, like, you're trying to protect me, but, like, I don't want you to get her protecting me, so, like, please stop protecting me. But then she basically, wait, when does this happen? Oh, right. And there's, like, so they keep doing, like, more convoluted tests, and then there's, like, more and more convoluted tests. There's, like, a game of tag, essentially. But it's a game of tag where, like, there's 2 teams and both have an it, but it's more like one person against it. Anyway, so Rachel gets hurt, and then she, like, for the rest of the episodes is, like, in a wheelchair and can't progress to the next level. But then, like, everyone in this, like, because I feel like the tone of the series is really unclear whether it's like pure shonen friendship spirit, like Hunter x Hunter would be, or if it's like, oh no, we all just care about, like, ourselves and we don't actually have friends. So, like, I think over the course of the season, they do actually build up genuine friendships. And it's like, so basically there's a turning point where Rachel can't go ahead and they all, like, band together and, like, okay, let's all do this special magic test. That's, like, the special thing that Bomb qualifies for because he's irregular, just to get Rachel to pass. and everyone else has already passed, but they're like, we all agree to help Bomb because we want Rachel to pass. Let's all do this thing where we help Bomb get Rachel to pass. And the test is this even more convoluted thing with like all these different monsters, and they, Bomb and Rachel just have to sit inside a little bubble in water and then get absorbed by a bunch of dolphins.
Okay.
while everyone else is like assisting them.
Wait, so what's the twist?
So all they have to do is sit in this bubble and get absorbed.
Yes.
And if they both get absorbed, then they pass. And then they, like, I think they like get to climb the tower.
Mm-hmm.
But like, so like while Bomb and Rachel are sitting in the bubble, she's still being kind of standoffish, but then she kind of talks to him a little bit more and is like, oh, this is just like old times. And like, oh, this is sweet. And then like right when, like in the last second before the season ends, she just pushes him off the bubble and then he just falls to his death ? And that's the end of season one.
Oh my God. So she yeeted him off the bubble so she yes. could survive, or so just she could advance.
They don't clarify, because it's not clear from season one. Like, it seemed like I was ready to be like, okay, she has pure intentions. She wants to, you know, like, she probably wants to make sure that he does not get her protecting her, right? Like, I don't want you mm-hmm. to die protecting me, kind of thing.
Yes.
Which I think is what you can assume from the text season one. But like, oh my God, if you just look at like the Crunchyroll comments for that episode, everyone is just like, oh my God, Rachel's a bitch. She's the worst. Oh my God, I hate Rachel. Oh my God. She's just like every woman that's rejected me. Oh my God, she's terrible.
Well, she did yeet him off a bubble to his possible death.
Yes. But so like, apparently from people who have read like the full series, she only gets worse and worse. Like, so me like trying to ascribe noble intentions to those actions, apparently no. Apparently she's like completely evil and just like has like, not evil in a like on a master plan, but in a like very selfish and like gross way that just makes me feel like, doesn't this author just have something against women? Like, do they just hate women? Like, is that what's going on? Which is kind of contradictory, because there are a bunch of badass female characters that like get a lot of spotlight and agency and seem pretty cool. So then I'm like, okay, I don't know. But yeah, it just seems like the fan base is very like vitriolically, they like enjoy hating Rachel. And
well,
so now I think it's, now in my mind, I'm thinking of it kind of like a Shield Hero situation, where it's like the fan base enjoys having this like completely, utterly detestable female character to root for the protagonist. I don't know. Killing or something.
See, I don't know if this is like my own deal, but Rachel just sounds fucking cool now. I was like super like, she's so boring, what is this dumb dream to go see the stars, and she's just like, whatever, I'll kill this dude, I don't care. I'm like, whoa, I'm way more into this now. The worse she is, the more I'm invested I am. But
well, the sad part is that there's only like a brief glimpse of her bad side in the season. It's just the very end.
Well, then I guess I'll wait for season two to stan Rachel, but like, I don't know, I love awful characters sometimes. But yeah, I did think she was like kind of boring. And I was like,
she is so boring.
If she suddenly gets crazy mean, I'm into that.
I'm curious to see that crazy mean side, apparently, because like, that sounds a lot more interesting than this like bland girl who just randomly is like, yeet. The fact that she's so bland and then suddenly is something so quote unquote detestable just makes it feel like it's like perfect for the audience to graft their own hatred of women onto, you know?
Never trust women. They're all bad.
The other thing is that like, one of the things that she like, one of the things like Bomb's mantra like earlier in the season is that he like has to like risk his life to protect Rachel. And I think there's also something that happens with Anak, the like little green lizard girl. And he's like, he has to do whatever, I forget what it is. He has to do it because Rachel told him, never betray a woman. Never betray a woman. That's like the worst thing you can do in life.
Rachel told him that?
Yes.
So she was grooming this child to sacrifice himself for her.
But the thing is, I had already heard what the twist was before I watched those earlier scenes where she says that. And I was like, oh no, this is like, they're just setting it up. Like, I want to say it's an effective knife twist, but it's more of a like, it just feels like it's like, women will say never betray a woman, but secretly they're the ones who are going to betray you. And I'm like, oh, that's gross.
I mean, that's not true for every woman, but for me, for sure, I will betray you.
So I'm like, oh, this is a gross representation of women. And you're like, no, this is me.
This is very accurate.
Okay.
I will, it's yeeted or yote.
No.
I will yeet somebody off a bubble for my own personal gain, even if I helped, I guess, raise them? I don't remember her deal.
I mean, what's the purpose of raising them aside from that?
Yeah, what's the purpose of raising a child if you can't sacrifice them for your own benefit? Anyways.
So that's Tower of God.
That's Tower of God. I'll watch that. I'll watch it when season two comes out.
Yeah, it wasn't an entirely bad experience.
That's good.
There were moments where I was like, this one or two aspects of it feel like Hunter x Hunter, but executed better in this one or two aspect.
Like
Kun, they reveal like what's going on with Kun's briefcase. That was a pretty cool reveal.
Oh, I would like to know that, but don't tell me yet. I'll watch it.
It's that it's full of women eating people.
Yep. All right. Back to Dorohedoro.
Dorohedoro. Dorohedoro is a manga written by Kyu Hayashida. There are 23 volumes out, so it's a pretty long series. It was running from 2000 to 2018 in three different manga magazines, which makes me just feel sad because it seems like each manga magazine was cursed and shut down. Like, initially it was in Monthly Iki, which was a seinen magazine. Did I say magazine? Oh my god. Mm-hmm. It was a seinen magazine. So it ran alongside series like Bokurano, Sunny, and then when Monthly Iki shut down, then it switched to Hibana, which was a maybe seinen magazine. I think it's listed on like Wikipedia as a seinen magazine, but some of their series in there were like After Hours, which is like a Yuri series. One of Akiko Higashimura's series, when she... I think almost all her series are basically Jose. Shimanami Tasogare, Our Dreams of Dusk, which I haven't read yet, but I heard is an amazing LGBTQ story. So I'm like, that does not seem like typical seinen stories. And then that magazine shut down after 2 years. And now, or not now, then for the last 2 years of its life, it was running in Monthly Shonen Sunday, which is a shonen magazine. So like, this is definitely the poster child of like manga demographics kind of mean nothing. Because like, if you look this up, it's like, this is a seinen / shonen series. And yet it's like, I don't think it changed in tone for those last 2 years when it was running in the Shonen magazine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the anime is done by Studio MAPPA, who is pretty famous for Kids on the Slope, Rage of Bahamut, Yuri on Ice, and Eternal Favorite Listeners, which I totally had not completely forgotten about.
Uh-huh.
So I think MAPPA, like, they have really good heights, but like, not everything they do is that great. Like, they worked on plenty of things that are just fine. None of the other staff really stood out to me, except for the series composition, which is done by Hiroshi Seko, who did the series composition for Banana Fish, Mob Psycho, and Vinland Saga. So Banana Fish, I've heard that the anime is kind of a mixed bag compared to the manga. So yes,
but hey, they got rid of some of the racism.
So have you seen and watched? have you read and watched?
I've read Banana Fish. I've seen some scenes from the anime, but it was in like Amazon prison. So.
Oh. So, like, what is it? I don't understand. And I just know that people are disappointed with the anime, but I don't know why.
So they modernized it
right.
a bit. So it's not, like, in the, like, 80s anymore.
I think I heard that they modernized it basically so that they, like, when they did location scouting in the USA, they wouldn't have, they could practically do that in modern times and not have to, like, imagine what it looked like in the 80s.
That could make sense.
I don't know if that was the only reason.
I just watched, like, the first episode or so, and I was like, this is fine. I'd already read it, so I'm okay, but... But they did, like, change, like, a lot of the, like, more racist caricatures toned down quite a bit, which I was like, thank God. Thank you.
And I assume, I mean, I've only seen half of season 1 of Mob Psycho, but it seems like the anime has adapted amazingly, so.
Yes, a perfect show.
And Vinland Saga, I have also only seen half of season, but that is also really excellent and like basically executed as well as I could expect. So I have high expectations for this kind of series composition. Mm. So what's Dorohedoro? What is
Dorohedoro? That's a great question with probably many answers, but essentially the story that we're following is that there's a place called The Hole, which I don't love. and it's just a place in the world where, I guess, sorcerers come to practice doing magic on people, and that's bad. You shouldn't use people as experiments. But in particular, we're following Kaiman, whatever. And he, I guess, got practiced on, and his head is a lizard head now, and he's trying to figure out where the sorcerer is who did it, because if you kill the sorcerer, the spell's undone. And his good friend, Nikaido, who runs a little restaurant, and... We're on the hunt for the sorcerer. That's it.
And when... So he had a lizard head.
Yes, he's a lizard head.
He also has a person inside his lizard head. So yes. He to find out if it's the right sorcerer, he glomps onto, like, chomps onto someone's entire head with his lizard head. And this isn't, like, yes. It took a while for me to figure out. It's not literal. It seems to enter some kind of magic realm. Like, the person who has then been bitten is then kind of, like, magically inside a lizard head. Mm-hmm. And there is just, like, a person there that asks them or, like, says if they're the sorcerer or not.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's super weird. And that's the opening scene, is some guy like inside of Paimon's head, like being face to face with that random dude who's inside his body. And it made me really uncomfortable. And I didn't want to keep watching because it was just so graphic, that whole first scene.
Right, like, so there's like, he bites his head, or like we see that, and it's like, I remember just trying to parse, like, who is the like, you're thrown into this world, it's totally in medias res, and I'm just like, okay, who's evil, who's good, who's bad? And I'm like, okay, is it the giant lizard that's bad? Is it like, okay, maybe they have like a good reason to be attacking. And then there's a guy who starts to attack the lizard with like a finger gun, and I was like, okay, maybe he's a good guy. And then Nikaido, who I didn't know the name of yet, she seemed like a protagonist, runs up and just like snaps that guy's finger, and I was like, don't do that.
And she snaps that guy's finger with two of her fingers, and I thought that was cool.
Oh, like she like pinches it, right?
Yeah, she like pinches it with just her like two fingers, and she's like, snap. And I was like, girl, all right.
So yeah, I feel like that was a really, okay, coming from Tower of God, where like Tower of God, actually, after I'd seen most of the season, went back and rewatched some of the opening scenes of Tower of God to be like, to clarify, because I remember being so confused about what was going on in those opening scenes. Mm-hmm. And having seen more of the show, a lot of them made more sense, but it was still so sloppy in terms of like, like, okay, in contrast, this opening scene felt like it was like, we have no idea what's going on. And even by the end of episode one, and then to a larger point by the end of episode three, I still don't understand this world at all, but it feels very intentional. It feels like,
you're not supposed to get everything yet.
Right. Like, we've gotten like a narrow window into the world, but like the author has thought about what's outside that window.
Yes. Like, they have like a fully fleshed out world, and we're just being shown little bits and pieces.
Right. And it feels like strategic what pieces they've shown us, as opposed to just setting up random scenes.
I do kind of like it, like when the author doesn't hold your hand and has like pages and pages of exposition. Mm-hmm. I kind of enjoy that we're just like discovering things as we go, instead of, I don't know, Nikaido being like, yeah, crazy, huh? How the sorcerers can come here through these doors, and they do magic through their fingers, but it seems to only be when there's an injury. And it's like, okay.
Oh, I didn't make that connection.
Oh, okay. Oh,
that's only when there's an injury, huh?
Well, doesn't it seem like that?
I guess so.
She had to bite her finger.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, I like how, like, it's very confusing just like who to root for. I think by the end of episode three, it's okay. The main characters are Kaimon and Nikaido. But like, mm-hmm. for a while, I was like, who are the good guys? Like, what is this world? What is the structure? Like, Kaimon and Nikaido are just going around murdering people. And I'm like, are they good? Are they bad? I guess we should confront what we're doing with spoilers. I think we're just
telling them.
Yeah, this is just too weird and confusing to split out into spoilers and non-spoilers. Like, stuff happens, but like, it won't make any sense if you don't watch the show. It won't make any sense if you do watch the show. So
that's true. So I guess like the biggest twist now that we're going to talk about and that we're spoiling is that I guess Kaimon and Nikaido are like hunting down sorcerers and killing them.
Because they hate sorcerers, like, yeah, categorically is what it seems like.
Yeah, it's like everybody in the hole hates sorcerers because they come there and like destroy people and like mutilate them for practice. But in episode three, they get Nikaido and Kaimon get their shit rocked. And then before they die, Nikaido is like, oh, by the way, I'm a sorcerer, bye. And like, but Kaimon doesn't know because he was knocked out because he got his head cut off.
He wasn't so much knocked out as his head was knocked off.
All right, you're right. So his head got cut off and with a hammer, which was so gross.
Another strategic kind of like opening up of the world, I think, is really cool how like they're facing these sorcerers, but kind of like the sorcerers they face in like episodes one and two are more like lackeys or like unimportant ones. And then like the main quote unquote villains, like the, I don't know, antagonists, deuteragonists, like Noi and Shin.
Love them.
They're great. But like their shtick is that they, I guess, enjoy not using their magic, or like prefer to not have to use their magic. So
yeah.
And that also pairs him up well against Kaimon, who apparently is resistant to all magic.
Yeah, it's because I think he has such a powerful spell on him already from the lizard head. I think that's what they keep thinking. God, I hate his lizard head. I hate him. I love Noe, though. She was, I think I mentioned earlier, I was like, she's the whole reason I did want to watch this show.
Do they pronounce it Noe or Noe?
I don't know. I'm saying Noe.
I wasn't paying attention.
Me either. Did you watch the dub or the sub?
I just watched subbed.
Lit.
Because I didn't watch it with my boyfriend, so I was free to watch in Japanese.
He didn't want to watch this great, this great time.
Oh, yeah. I like how, like, we've seen this, like, these two groups fight off against each other. But we still have no idea what Shin or Noi's powers are.
We know Noe does healing. Yeah. But we don't know what else she does.
Yeah, I wonder if she might have things in combat. But I thought that was a good strategic way to, like, have them fight. And, like, they're still a huge threat, even though they haven't even used their magic in combat.
Yeah.
Like, just wielding a hammer and Noe wielding her biceps.
Her fist. Yeah. God, she's incredible. I do. What was my favorite moment, I think, in the show was when Noe and Mikaido were fighting. And she's like, wow, you're great. Let's be friends. And then Mikaido was like, what? And then she's like, oh, that's right. I have to kill you. And like,
oh, I forgot one thing I meant to mention when describing the background of the manga author and stuff. The manga author is female.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is really cool.
That made so much sense when I found that out, because I really loved the character designs for all of the women that we've met so far. Because it's like Nikaido, Noe, Ebisu, and they're all different. And then Noe and Nikaido are ripped as hell. And like, they don't have like snatched waists or anything. I guess Nikaido and Noe, I guess they do have giant boobs, but like, it's fine. It doesn't feel like over-sexualized in any way.
That's not like their primary characteristic.
Yeah, their primary characteristic is they're badass and ready to kill you. And I loved that. And I loved their character designs. And I was like, wow, I'm so pleasantly surprised. And then I found out it was a woman. And I was like, that makes sense. And I love her.
Yeah, like, I think in the manga and anime landscape, like, I can see how strategically they probably need to, like, make big-breasted women to be more attractive to certain demographics, for sure. Mm-hmm. But, like, when that's handled by a woman, that's, like, done so much more tastefully, usually.
Yeah. I, like, because I saw the designs and I didn't know it was by a woman at first. I was just, like, pleasantly surprised. And I was like, wow, this doesn't make me feel anger or greased or creeped out. So thank you for making this good.
But like, in contrast to that, like, this is definitely something that I'd seen the manga around, like, I'd seen covers and stuff, and I was like, I never had a single ounce of interest in it. Like, this was like, this is not my thing. This, because I mean, I guess we should talk about the general aesthetic. It's like grunge, grime, dirt, gross,
gore.
And even, right. I don't think there's so much gore apparent from like the manga covers, but it was just like, this just looks like it's ugly on purpose, and that's not my thing.
Yeah, like the covers and like the art itself in the manga is very like gritty, gritty and grungy, which is cool if you're into that. But I am a small baby, and I just want happy good times. I like my things to be PG-13.
I want the power of friendship and like clean lines.
Yeah, I want the power of friendship, and I want, if there's a fight, they like, it's a little fist fight and everybody goes home safe and okay.
I want like people fight, it seems like it's to the death, but then like the protagonist is just like so earnest that like even the villain comes to their side in the end.
Yes. This is not that show. So this is the opposite,
like, murder
of
in the first
show.
Couple seconds.
Yes. Murder in the first couple seconds and continuous murder. When Nikaido was killing those muggers, I guess they were just like, give us your shit, and she's like, okay, here we go. And she, like, one dude's eyeball comes out and the other guy steps on it, and he's like, oh no, my eyeball. And he's like, sorry. And then that guy gets his head cut off, and I was like, I'm not built for this. Like, it's done well and I see that, but I'm not built to watch this kind of content.
I think I want to talk about the opening and endings, but we've only seen two endings. There was one ending for episode 1 and 2, and then a different ending for episode 2, but I've heard there are like 5 to 6 different endings. So I haven't listened to.
Same then, I guess.
But all of the 3 opening, ending 1 and ending 2 that I've seen, I thought all like fit tonally really well. Especially like the opening is so, it's so weird and disconcerting. And I think the, like, when they showed the Dorohedoro title card, really captured, like, it was like a rainbow grunge. And that kind of feels like how I'm viewing the series. Like, it's not just grunge. It's not just grimy dirt. Like, things are ugly. Things are dirty. Things are gross. It's like, it's that. Plus, everything's really weird and over the top and like absurd and in a fun way. Like it's so, it's so weird and so ugly that it's...
It's definitely more fun than a lot of other things this season.
Yeah.
And I am, I had a lot of complicated feelings about this because I'm interested by the story. I want to know what's happening. I want to solve this mystery. And I kind of care about the characters, but I just personally am not good at handling all the violence. So for me, I think the answer for that is to read the manga because I can just skip over the visuals I don't care for.
So did it actually make you, did watching it make you feel like I don't enjoy this, or was it like actually uncomfortable?
I was just uncomfortable. Like when you're watching, I don't know, like when I'm watching like a scary movie or something and like the scary part comes up and I like cover my eyes, like that's what I was doing through most of the show, which is very hard when you don't speak Japanese because I have to keep looking at the subtitles and like covering my eyes.
I totally did that in like the one part that I thought was the most horrifying. And it's when Noi and N, their boss, I think it, sorry, Noi and Shin, their boss, his name N.
Yes.
And his shtick is that he just like loves mushrooms, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he just kept eating mushrooms. And I was like, this is horrifying and gross. And I don't want to see this.
Oh, so that's where you put your eyes down.
Yeah, I just couldn't. Ugh.
Well, his thing is also that he turns people into mushrooms and, yeah, then eats them.
Mushrooms. Like, who eats mushrooms? Like, what the? Ugh.
That is truly revolting. nobody likes mushrooms.
I was actually confused by like the plot details of... Because, okay, so he basically, he invites Noi and Shin over for, like, and the other sorcerer guy who got his finger broken, and Ebisu. So, like, all four of them are there. And he, like, introduces these two, like, mate performers that he has that can transform. And they transform into, they're supposed to transform into, oh my gosh, so many names, Kaimon and Nikaido. Mm-hmm. And, like, show off their targets. But then it's revealed that they are Nikaido and Kaimon?
No, they're imposter transformers, which is very confusing.
Okay, so it's different transformers who are also... Okay. Because like he turns them into mushrooms by the end of it. So I was like, I guess it's not them. Because it's someone who's dead now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah, they're like imposter transformers, which is very confusing. And he said like, oh, look for the real ones. And if they're dead, whatever, we'll move on. And I was like, okay, cool. Also, apparently he and Noi are cousins.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have a great relationship because Noi was just ignoring him.
I also don't know if this is true of all the characters, but like Shin, I think they call him by his full name Shinzo, which is just means heart. And he has like a heart mask. So like...
Oh, I see.
I'm not sure if they all are like that.
I don't know. Maybe don't he changed his name to match the mask he's wearing.
Yeah.
That could be a thing. I also just, I don't get the mask thing.
Yeah, like, are they in an environment where they can't breathe the air or something?
I'm sure they'll explain it at some point, but...
It didn't seem consistent to me when Kaimon was wearing a mask, which also, like, I enjoy how his, like, he has lizard spikes at the back of his head, and his mask has, like, holes for the lizard spikes, so, like, yeah. I don't know how he puts it on, he has, like, fit it perfectly over the spikes.
I love it. It's so cute. Or maybe the spikes just stab through it and it's like a mesh material.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It just has to replace it often. But no, I think I loved it. But,
but you can't watch it.
I can't watch it. That's the hard part. That's why I have complicated feelings towards this show because it's very interesting. I like the concept and I like the way it's executed. And the animation, like while the style isn't my favorite, it works really well for the manga.
Yeah, I guess we should describe like what the animation style is.
Oh, kind of like a weird 3D-ish thing.
Yeah, like it definitely is 3D, but like I was left confused at parts if it was like, you know, if it was a lot of a mix between 2D and 3D, or if it just like, I mean, I think the 3D like fits that grunge, grimy aesthetic well, because like things I think are supposed to look a little bit off.
Yeah.
And like there's like a lot of detail. There's just extra like lines and stuff in places that normally wouldn't be there for anime.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, but I feel like there are definitely moments, like I was trying to watch like when Noi takes off her mask the first time and it's like, I forget who else is there, but they're like, that's a girl. Whoa. Like when the hair is flying down, I was like, I don't think that hair is a CGI model. I think that hair is just 2D animation. I don't think they modeled her hair as like a flowing 3D object that was up in her head and then flowed down. But that could just be like, you know, one cut that's 2D drawn or whatever.
Yeah, who knows? Not me. Let's look at more things of Noi.
Yeah, I think it's definitely the kind of aesthetic in the world where like things being a little bit in the uncanny valley heightens the experience. as opposed to detracting from it. And like the characters occasionally walk pretty stiffly, but it's like, but the world is so weird that it's like the least of your concerns. It's like, oh, the guy, the person with a person body and a lizard head is walking a little bit stiffly. Like,
it's fine.
Yeah. He's also like in this weird suit and like has a gas mask on. Like, there are weirder things going on.
I did think it like fit the feel of it very well, the way everything was animated. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have a problem with it the whole time. It didn't blow me away as much as like, I loved, I guess, because like Beastars is also like 3D, trying to look 2D kind of. And that one, I was just like, wow, this is great. And like this one had more intense action and I still wasn't like blown away, but it was good. It just wasn't like stunned.
Right, because I feel like I feel like the action, it's like things are moving so fast that you're kind of just like, you can't keep track of whether it's 3D or 2D. Whereas like where Beastars excelled in its animation was in like character expressions. Mm-hmm. And this, the way the characters express is like standard anime. You know, like it's, they have standard anime faces and they make standard anime expressions.
Yeah, which works for this.
Yeah.
But it's just not going to impress us, I guess.
Yeah.
But wow, I love the characters a lot. Or like, I love Noe and Nikaido a lot. I guess the women. Shin's fine too.
What about Ebisu?
Oh, Ebisu's great.
I'm sorry, Ebisu. Wait.
Ebisu.
I know. Wait, Ebisu is wrong. Ebisu?
Ebisu?
Ebisu? Ebisu. Ebisu. Ebisu.
Okay.
I was horrified when she got her face ripped off, though.
That was horrifying. I screamed. I hate this show. Just kidding. I take it all back. When she got her face ripped off and her face was hanging off of his teeth, and I was in tears. I was like, I hate this. I don't want to watch this anymore. Why did we do this? Who voted for this?
I think it arrived at the perfect point in my like viewing experience, though, because like at that point he's, I think it was like towards the end of episode 2, is that right?
Yeah.
And like at that point he's bitten a lot of people's heads, and like after he bites their heads he like murders them, but before, like while he's biting their heads, it does this weird magical experience where they get to like see inside his head, and like they even do a thing in episode 1 where they try to get a photo inside his head, so it's like, and they don't find anything inside his head, so it's clearly a magical thing. It's not like a normal literal thing. So, and then once he bites them, they kind of come off unscathed. So I was kind of like, okay, this biting thing, it's not that bad. Like, it doesn't really have consequences. Like, he murders him afterward. This whole biting thing isn't that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But then Ebisu, her companion, like drags her away and her face gets ripped off.
I'm getting upset because then later it shows us her face.
Yes. For a while, they were like tactfully like, okay, she had not bandages, but like gauze over it. So, okay, they can't show it. Then later, she's just there in the background
with no face.
This is not what Miyazaki intended when he said no face.
Oh my God. I'm just upset all over again.
But and then but Noe heals her.
Poor Ebisu, because Noe heals her, and then they go to the hole on like zombie day, which is I guess the day that all the corpses rise up from the dead that were killed by sorcerers, and poor Ebisu gets eaten by a zombie partially and then just turns into a zombie. And I'm like, this poor girl who also doesn't have any memories right now is like being put through everything. I'm like, can you just keep her safe somewhere? We know nothing about her also.
I thought it was interesting how, like, what is going, why does she need a new, like, outfit? Because her companion has to, like, make an outfit for her and, like, piece it together from, like, a puzzle.
Oh, I have no idea what's happening in this show. Do not ask me.
I forget why he has to do that, but, like, the outfit that he got, like, doesn't fit together in the end, and her boob is just hanging out.
Oh, no.
And, but, like, while he was dressing her, it was like, okay, this is being very tasteful. Like, she has underwear on, like, they're not showing anything. And then he finishes the outfit, and then it just, like, doesn't have one of the boobs covered. And I was like, okay.
The show is insane. I want to love it. I do. Because it's really interesting. But I just physically, I don't think I can do it.
I mean, I definitely, like, it's so interesting and so wild. I would definitely recommend people check it out. But it's not the kind of thing that I'm like, everyone's going to love this show so much. I'm like, you need to go watch it. It's like, if you're curious, you should check it out. But, like, I don't think everyone's going to love it. Like,
yeah. Okay. I think we're thinking about it in our terms of would we recommend it or not. Yes, I would 100% recommend this to people who have even the slightest amount of interest in it or are into like gross stuff.
Yeah.
Because if they're into that at all, I'll be like, watch this. It's buck wild.
Well, like, what are other examples of gross stuff that people might be into?
Like Junji Ito stuff. Mm. Like if you're into that, like it's not, I don't want to say the art is similar. Well, no, I'm just thinking about the, like the manga, but it is like kind of like a more like gritty kind of feel to it that reminds me of his stuff.
And it's not horror.
No, it's not horror, but it, you know what? It horrified me.
It's not horror, but it's like a grotesque aesthetic.
Yeah, or like, I wouldn't say Tokyo Ghoul is a little cleaner.
Yeah, I would say like if what you like about Tokyo Ghoul is the like edgy aesthetic.
Fighting, yeah.
Then like, and you want something that's like even more like that.
Yeah. Do you know what I was thinking? Okay, so I made this comparison in the beginning in my head before I had actually seen Dorohedoro. But did you ever see Darker Than Black?
Yeah.
So you know how they had to like hurt themselves or like pay the price in order to like do their magic? Yeah. So that reminded me kind of this, like, because she like bit her finger and stuff, and like there was like that guy with the mask and shit. And like that was kind of not the same kind of grungy, but it was like edgy. It was edgier.
I challenge this connection.
It was edgier, okay.
Darker Than Black felt like, I think what Darker Than Black did with like superpowers and like them all having a cost, I don't think it's that different from like, I think it's a more formalized version of like My Hero Academia does, where it's like,
all right, you know, fine.
You have a power, but like there is some cost to it. But like My Hero Academia is not the most consistent with that. Like some people have powers, like Bakugo's power, and what's his cost? He can blow up things forever. Like, you know, I guess he runs out of sweat. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I really liked Darker Than Black was like a lot of the ways in which it manifested was like OCD or like, I don't remember the other things now because it's been like over a decade. But like it felt like realistic consequences to using their powers that gave them some kind of limit. It wasn't like you have to stab yourself and you have to draw blood or like cut off a finger and then you can use a power. It was just like, I don't know. Some of them were pretty bad. Yeah. Like
okay,
eat cigarettes. But
so maybe my comparison's bad, but... But I thought of it. I said before I watched the show.
Oh, okay.
I was just like, oh, maybe it's like a similar thing. Also, you bring up a good point. Is there any limit to these, like the sorcerer's magic in Dorohedoro? Because it seems like they can just infinitely cast spells.
I don't. How many times have we actually seen spells being cast? Like we see doors being open when they're injured. We saw Noi heal.
Mm-hmm. And then she just was like, okay, we're going to do it again. Mm. But I guess it had been some time.
And she, that was like, they haven't actually shown her like, oh, I love when she was like, she was like in a library in like a fancy outfit.
Yeah.
Like she was researching.
Love her.
How to cure zombies. And then was like, oh, I don't know, but like, let's just try it. Okay.
It was perfect. She's great. Top tier character. Top tier character. Well, okay. If we're thinking of who I would recommend it to, or if I would recommend it to everyone, I think I would with like the warning of this is mature. It's cool though. I'm just such a child, I guess.
Okay, so you're going to give it a love it?
I'm going to give it a love it. Because I am interested in watching more. I just physically cannot.
I think, and I feel bad because I'm now on the in the meme from the John Mulaney sketch. The like, was the McDonald's?
You're the one black coffee.
Yeah. Because I do think a lot of people, I think especially for like dedicated anime fans who are kind of like want to see a variety in the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think this is an excellent thing to like see just how far this bizarre, gritty aesthetic can go and how cool and fun it is. But for people who are more like casual anime fans, I feel like I would not necessarily want to recommend it to people who have like only seen a couple of Miyazaki films and be like, watch this anime. This is the next anime you need to watch. You know, like, I'd be like, you're going to be scared away from anime forever.
That's true. Well, what if they have only seen a couple Miyazaki films, but they love like slasher films and they like action films that are like live action. And they're just like, but an anime, I've only seen Miyazaki. You'd be like, well, check out Dorohedoro.
Yeah, I think totally if people like that kind of like the live action equivalent of this kind of stuff. But I personally hate that stuff. So I'm not familiar with it or like.
Me too. That's why I didn't have any examples.
The slasher movie with the knife.
People died.
They slashed.
There's like those Saw movies. People die in those in horrible ways.
Yeah. Saw. Danganronpa for Americans.
All right. That's enough out of you. Okay. So I'm loving it. You're weaving it?
Yeah. I think I'm going to weave it.
All right. Everybody tweet at Jeff and tell him he's wrong.
I mean, I'm going to keep watching it. I'm definitely intrigued.
Are you? Because I don't think I can.
I'm more intrigued to watch it than to read it, actually.
Like, oh, man.
I'm kind of overwhelmed by the fact that there are 23 volumes. I'm like, okay, I'm not that. Like, if there were, like, we watched the episodes and there were 100 episodes of the anime, I'd be like, well, I don't know. But there's only 12 or 13 or something, so.
Yeah.
It's surmountable.
All right, all right. So anyways, if you want to watch it and you haven't for some and listen to this whole thing, it's on Netflix. Go watch the whole thing.
Let's do some listener questions now.
Oh, I forgot, because we posted it 10 seconds before we started recording.
Well, I think so the first set of questions comes from Len Ramarasha on Twitter. And I think we kind of addressed the first two questions, which were like, do we think the grit and grunginess of the manga translated well with the anime?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And our favorite ending theme. We only really saw the first two, the one with the like Carter and then the like 8-bit pixel one.
Mm-hmm.
They're both good.
I think I liked the second one better, but that's just me.
But most important question from Lum is Noi or Nikado? Who is the most badass?
Noi. Well, actually, we don't know yet because we haven't seen Nikado's like full sorcerer powers, but I don't care. It's Noi. The love of my life.
I guess I'm not as like, I like them both. Nikaido seems more pure. I don't understand. I am, because this is not a like shonen spirit, like power friendship will prevail kind of world. I'm confused how Nikaido's investment seems to just be, she found this lizard guy and now they're kind of friends. And now she's going to risk her life for this kind of friend. Like that seems like weird stakes.
Well, maybe because she's been keeping a lot of secrets. Right. So maybe there's more we don't know.
Wait, did she? Because I remember in episode 3, doesn't she start to tell him?
Kind of.
Oh, no, she tells him about how she discovered him, not about how she's a sorcerer.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, so I think I'm kind of leaning towards Nikaido. I think Noi is just like...
the best?
A little too much.
Wow!
It's a little too over the top.
I'm sick of this.
But I am intrigued by her. Like, when she was in the library, in that suit or whatever, I was like, oh boy.
Incredible.
If she was like that all the time.
Glorious. An angel. Anyways, so at Romanos asks, if you were a wizard, what would your mask look like and what would your powers be? So, Jeff?
I think this is kind of inspired by Tower of God. One of the good things that Tower of God did was... like the closest thing to like a pure villain that was introduced is this guy who like comes in to, I don't know, like reclaim these weapons or whatever. And he's like, I guess like part of the authoritarian, I don't know, spy agency or something. But he's basically just like a creepy goat thing. Oh my God, I'm going to show you an image. So he's basically like, he looks like the size of a little child in this like sheep wool.
What?
And just like a big mouth, and it basically just like has like mascot, like it opens a mouth and it just has like creepy eyes and is like has also creepy magical powers. But anyway, like it is compelling as a villain because it's like this like cute mascot character that is really evil and really like sadistic. So I think that's how it fit into the Dorohedoro world, is by just like having something that like is cute and that makes people think that it's like extremely sadistic because it's so cute, but it's actually just cute. But like I get by because people think I'm so cute, I'm evil, but really I'm just pure.
Okay, what are your powers? What do you go with that?
I didn't think about powers.
You just thought of your aesthetic.
I don't understand what powers are in this world yet.
Yeah, me either, honestly. Except one guy turns some stuff into mushrooms, and then Noi's a healer.
And someone makes lizard heads.
Someone makes lizard heads, and someone turns people into insects. All gross. I kind of like healing, though.
Oh, yeah, insect guy, yeah. But, like, not fully.
Oh, yeah, he was bad at doing it, so, like...
Yeah, healing is the most pure.
Healing's a good one. But I also want to be able to fight people.
Maybe I'd have like cleaning magic, just like clean the floors, you know, like clean the streets of the hole.
Oh, they talked about that dude who could chop you up into little pieces, but you stayed alive.
Oh, right. Because he was like keeping someone captive, right?
Yeah. And that was pretty messed up. And I hated that. But I also was like, that's a pretty, pretty cool power if you're like a really bad person.
Sure. Be good for like arranging. You wouldn't need to have anime figures. You could just have the real people.
That's gross. Wait, it'd be kind of cool to have powers to shrink people and make them big again. Oh, wait, that's just Ant-Man. Oh, never mind.
Speaking of which, there's an episode of Tower of God where, for some reason, Rock gets shrunk to, like, a child size.
What?
I don't know. It happened.
That's kind of cute.
It was kind of cute, but Tower of God's a bad show.
Oh, damn. All right. I can't come up with any powers because I just want practical stuff. Like, I can make food appear or... I can teleport myself to wherever I want to be. You know what? That's the one. I picked that one.
Teleportation? But they already have the doors.
Yeah, but like how cool would it be if you didn't need a door because that one guy's arm got cut off before you could open the door. So didn't really work out for him, did it? I want teleportation. I've decided.
I was going to say maybe it'd be nice to just have like invulnerability to magic like Kaimon, but then you can still get your head chopped off. So, you know.
Yep.
Not really safe.
Nope. I'll just disappear. You'll never find me.
I would just have like in Super Mario Sunshine, like just cleaning magic, you know, just find a corner of this world that like is outside the grungy aesthetic, set up a little village.
Oh my goodness. All right. And then there's a follow-up question. If you ran a gyoza restaurant, what would your specialty gyoza be? Mine's veggie because I don't eat meat.
Wow. So much character in that answer.
I'm sorry.
The absence of an answer. Wow.
I don't eat meat. I gotta make something I can eat.
Like, there are lots of different kinds of veggies.
Sweet potato.
I was gonna say hash browns.
Hash brown?
Yeah, well, what would happen if you put hash browns in gyoza? Might be good. I don't know.
Just put potatoes. You don't need to make a whole ass hash brown and then put it in gyoza.
But that's what I want. I remember having... I went to like a really nice gyoza restaurant in Kyoto, I think.
We get it. You've been to Japan. Oh,
okay. There was interesting cheese gyoza. I would definitely do some kind of like cheese and some combinations of cheese and like sauces or things.
Mm-hmm.
I remember it was really weird because I guess I'd been in Japan at that point for like a week already. And mm-hmm. I was eating gyoza and I forgot. We ordered a bunch of them. I forgot what they were. And I put this like on my mouth. It was cheese. And I was like, what is this flavor that is so nostalgic and like so good?
It's
cheese. I feel like I haven't had it in a while. It's cheese.
I always just think of cheese and how much I miss it.
I mean, it's not impossible to find cheese in Japan, but...
It's just not super common.
Right. I feel like once I learned where to find cheese, then my diet in Japan got a lot worse. Because once you know where to look for it, then it's like, you eat much less healthy things.
Oh my God.
So, last couple questions came in from Mari/Microwavy on Twitter. So they asked, any bits of incidental storytelling that stuck out to you, like environmental details, casual mentions of customs, or things of importance to the world?
Yes.
Is that your answer?
Yep. No, like, I guess, because they didn't tell us initially why Kaimon's like that, or why he's, like, biting people, I guess. But it was, like, when they just showed up in, like, the hospital, and I was like, oh, these guys got turned into bugs. And I'm like, oh, so this is the thing that happens to a lot of people. And then, like, the bartender had, like, a weird... drooling fish looking head. I don't know, like a squid head. And then he's like, he looks at Kaimon and he's like, what happened to your head? And he's like, what? Look who's talking. And it's sad that everyone's like messed up, but it was kind of cool how they're just like, yeah, this is a very common thing without like saying it's a common thing.
I feel like this question is hard to answer because like from what I've seen in these three episodes, I have a lot of confidence there are a lot of these cool environmental details, mm-hmm. but I still feel so confused by the world because I'm still such a baby in the world that I'm like, what is going on? Like everything is just like, I'm left agape and I'm like still trying to figure out where all the pieces fit together. So it's like, it doesn't quite feel like, oh, these cool little details of the world. It's like, this world is so vast and confusing. and like, I think once I understand it better, I could go back and watch these episodes and be like, oh, there was a little detail that like signified this one thing. But instead, I'm just like lost in a good way.
Yeah.
It's fun. I don't know if this counts, but there was one. Why were they even at a bar? I remember a bar scene and there was like mm-hmm. a random shot where like there was a little info card on a table that looked like a graphic from Sailor Moon. And
oh, I don't remember that.
I don't know what that was, but that was a
Easter egg little for detail. Someone.
They also ask, adding to that, can you make up something that normally sounds ridiculous, but in the context of Dora Hedoro, it sounds plausible?
Yes. A guy's head was a lizard head and it got cut off and then he just regrew his lizard head.
Okay. That's something that actually happened though.
Yeah. I don't know. Everything, does any Buckwild thing you can think of would be plausible in Dora Hedoro?
The thing is, like, I don't have the imagination for this kind of show. Like I'm not, my body's
creative. Okay. We...
Well, it's a combination of not being creative and also like my body's not made for this. Like the reason I'm not particularly like used to these kind of things is because this is not the kind of things that my brain thinks about are like the power of friendship and like pure-hearted, you know, relationships, mm-hmm. but not like gruesome, I don't know, ways of murdering strangers and transforming them into human experiments.
Yeah, that guy did kill that guy with a hammer, or he ripped off Kaimon's head with a hammer, which was real nasty and I don't think plausible.
I was thinking, like, while I was watching the fight, I was like, hammer seems really useful.
Yeah.
Like, it's heavy. It has, like, there's the front end and the back end. The back end's sharp.
Yes.
You can use it to catch things. Why don't people use hammers more?
Probably, I don't know, probably because is it practical?
It seemed practical. This show convinced me.
Yeah. Okay, what if, okay, I'm making something up. What if that guy whose eye got popped out of his head, who ran away and escaped, he comes back later and he has like a really cool eye that's like got magic powers or something. I don't know.
I was kind of wondering if the eye was going to like roll around and like do something on its own when it fell out of his head. But
mm-hmm. Gross. Ew. I hate that. I'm just thinking of it getting smushed again.
That is kind of, there's something that happened in the latest season of The Magicians, it's kind of similar where a character loses an eye, but then, so for like a whole season, she basically has this like really cool eye patch on. She looks really cool. Like the fashion in The Magicians is amazing. But then by the end of it, she gets like a magic fairy eye. So then for like the rest of the show, she just has a normal eye. But I've forgotten there was a magic fairy eye. And then in the latest season, she just like needs to kind of keep tabs on someone. So she just like pops out the eye and gives it to him and is like, oh, I'll watch you. Like, just carry my eye around.
That's gross. That could happen in Dorohedoro.
Yeah, it could.
Ew, I'm upset. Okay.
Well, yeah, I think it's a good combination of this like magic as excuse to portray the most grungy, horrific things that you could think of. Mm-hmm. It's a clever use of magic.
Yeah, I hate it. I love it. I hate it. I'll read it. How about that?
I love it. I hate it. I'll read it.
Yes, that's my review of Dorohedoro.
So it's time for our weekly recommendation. Should I go first? You have to think about something?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I am going to recommend Mrs. America, which is a TV show on Hulu/FX about basically the campaign to stop the Equal Rights Amendment, which I knew so little about. When I heard that the ERA, the Equal Rights Amendment, existed, I assumed it had been passed in, I'm forgetting the dates. It's been a couple weeks since I watched the show, but basically it was something that had like cross-party support from both political parties and was totally on track to be ratified by, I think, 38 states need to ratify it for it to become an amendment to the Constitution. Mm-hmm. But basically, Phyllis Schlafly, I don't even know how to describe her. She's the villain of the show, but she's also the star of the show. And she basically like created this campaign to stop the Equal Rights Amendment from getting passed. And by the end of the show, it basically got gridlocked. And now, 30 years later, no, we're not in 2000, 50 years later, the Equal Rights Amendment never got passed. And it, you know, like by now, like enough social progress has happened that like it maybe is not quite so necessary anymore. But like, it's fascinating to see. So it's not just about philosophically fighting against the Equal Rights Amendment. It's about like the feminist movement at the time. And there's lots of different, very notable actresses in all these roles. And apparently it's a very, like the writer's room and everything was female run. Most of the directors are female. So it was like a very female show. And there was a lot of interesting history and seeing all these different sides of history that I knew so little about. Like the primary like famous character, because Phyllis Schlafly is basically only known for this campaign she did. And apparently one of the last things she did before she died was support Trump's campaign. So, but like, it's fascinating to see the Republican Party, like she basically ushered in this like new era of the Republican Party that like is so ultra conservative and like unable to compromise. And so like in a lot of ways, her philosophy failed. Like we see like her kids not supporting her own agenda and stuff. But in other ways, she totally introduced this modern era of people not being able to talk to each other and agree on reasonable things. Anyway, Miss America is great.
I have seen that like previews and commercials for it. And I'm like, perhaps someday I shall watch that.
It's really fascinating to see, like, because Phyllis Schlafly is in some ways a very feminist figure who is very anti-feminist. Mm-hmm. And she is very much like, women have their place in the home. If we get this Equal Rights Amendment passed, then we'll have two jobs. We'll have to be a homemaker and have a real job. And it's like, there's a bit of truth to that, but like, you're a horrible, evil person.
Yeah.
And
have you seen Ali Wong's stand-up?
I think so. I think I saw both the ones where she was pregnant.
Yes, those are the only ones that she had out on Netflix. But there's the one bit where she's just like talking about like the book, like Lean In, about women like joining the workforce. She's like, I don't want to lean in. I want to lie down. it exudes that energy. But like, obviously, Ali's kidding. But
Well, the thing is, yeah, like the ERA would not force women to do these things, but Phyllis Schlafly totally acted like it would force women to do all this stuff. And
like, low key, I do want someone else to take care of me. Like, I don't want to do this work thing, but
yeah, everyone wants that.
But oh well.
As a man, I want that freedom too.
I guess it's equal opportunity now. I don't think I've recommended this before. But the newest chapter of Haikyuu was really good. So if you haven't read the manga for Haikyuu, read it.
Just read 300 chapters, you know.
Just read them. It's great. Or watch the show. And then when you catch up with the show, then read the manga. It's so good. It's one of them. I think they just put Haikyuu on Netflix now. So now you can go watch it there. I don't think season 4 is up, but I think like seasons 1 through 3 are up on Netflix. Oh, also, Avatar just got put back on Netflix in HD, so you can watch it in HD now.
Wait, was it not before? Didn't we already talk
about it? No, it was in the same like definition it was released in, like aired in. So now it's like the HD version is now on Netflix. So if it bothered you that it wasn't beautiful, you can watch it now. That's all I have to recommend. So watch Haikyuu and read Haikyuu and also watch Avatar again. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for putting up with us.
Yeah, sorry we're insane.
Oh, I didn't even mention how Dorohedoro apparently just means like gritty filth.
Is that why we kept saying it was gritty and filthy the whole time?
Guess so. Well, that's not... In the dictionary I looked at my phone, when I type in Dorohedoro, it was like, okay, Doro means this. Hedoro means this. But when I searched the other dictionary, it's just like, Dorohedoro is a manga series.
Thank you.
Right, so Doro is like mud, slush, dirt, mire, and Hedoro is sludge, slime, chemical ooze. That's what the show is about, chemical ooze. We are the Chemical Ooze of Podcasts. Ooh. Rate and review us if you want to live in our grungy aesthetic on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah. If you don't, then still leave us a 5-star review. Thank you. You can email us feedback if you don't want to leave a review or you already left a review at loveitorweebit@gmail.com or at loveitorweebit on Twitter. Also, if there's anything for next season that you're seeing that's popped up and you want us to cover, go ahead and send that our way too. That's coming up. You can tweet at me at anyothername on Twitter.
And I am definitely Jeff. And I guess in the next week, by the time this episode comes out, Digimon will come back. So my Digimon podcast will be coming back, I guess, if I don't overwork myself. And next episode is going to be my next life as a villainess full season review. Then we're going to be going back in time and doing a classic review of Penguin Drum, and then jumping back to the present to do a full season review of BNA, which Woo. Should be dropped on Netflix in a couple weeks.
Thank God. All right. Anyways, bye.
Bye. And as we always say, tough on dirt, gentle on anime. It's surmountable.
All right. Well,
is that what surmount means?
I don't know.
I feel like I've lost how words work.
I can't read.
Or speak. Or listen. Listeners drained our ability to listen.
Okay, that's enough.
It's D space A, A. space.
So D, A, I don't like.
What is that noise you're making?
It's from SpongeBob, remember?
What?
Remember? And he goes to that place and he's like, I don't understand your accent. Like,
no, I don't remember that.
Wow, it's when he goes to rock bottom and the guy makes that sound in between each word. I'm sick of you. Don't get my SpongeBob references.
Did I ever tell you about how I almost adopted a cat that was named Hinata?
No, that's cute, though.
Well, but then I found out it was named Hinata after the Naruto character.
Oh.
So then I was like, nope, don't want that cat.
Wrong cat.
There are a lot of episodes of Penguin Drum to watch. I am excited and scared.
There's a lot, and I've never seen it before, so it's going to be a lot for me to ingest.
I should be more responsible. I've already started by now, but I'm trying to read this book about the incident behind the series before I start watching, and like, it's taken a lot. It's a lot to read.
All right. I like to save things for right before we do this podcast so they're fresh in my mind. And that's the only reason I wait that long.
I mean, I did watch 9 episodes of Travel God within a day or two, so I think...
Oh my God, horrifying news.
The thing is, that was easy because Tower God's bad, so I could just like, it's just trash to consume. But Penguin Drum is so good. It's so dense.
All right, well, if it's so good, then I can get through it in... a couple days.
I hope so. And as we always say, tough on dirt, gentle on anime.
No. Ugh, bedtime.
I'm out of words.
I'm tired.
I'm just like, do we need words anymore?